Forbes, Fortune, Time. These are among the world's best magazines, and they're all available on demand right in your pocket with the Texture app. Texture gives you immediate and unlimited access to more than 160 titles on your tablet and smartphone, tons of exclusive extras, and years of back issues. Explore all the topics that interest you, plus get recommended articles from Texture's editorial team. Right now, Wall Street Journal listeners can try Texture for free at texture.com/Wall Street. That's texture.com/Wall Street.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Coming up, all eyes seem to be on China. Is a hard landing at hand? Heard on the Street examines the forces rocking China's stock market and whether this could ripple through to the global economies.
Spend lots of time on your device? Then spend some of that time with us. WSJ Podcasts, the sound of success.
Welcome back to Heard on the Street, the podcast. I'm Steve Russolillo here with my colleagues David Riley and Alex Frangos, who is in Hong Kong, along with WSJ's Hong Kong Bureau Chief Ken Brown. China, along with oil, has been the force driving global markets lower this week. Of these two, which is exerting the stronger influence?
Well, I think, you know, China is sort of exerting influence on oil to some extent. I mean, you know, you saw what happened over the weekend in the Middle East and you'd think oil prices would go up, and, you know, they haven't. You know, the thing with the Chinese economy is they're the biggest consumer and the marginal buyer of every commodity out there. And so a slowdown in China affects those markets. And, you know, with there's no other real source of demand that anyone can see out there, and supply is pretty strong. And so if China's weaker, it drives those markets down.
It drives across the whole commodities complex, not just oil. We're talking metals, talking all kinds of things.
Yeah, and, you know, the countries that will be most affected by a Chinese slowdown, as we've seen already, are these commodity producers who are already, you know, deep in debt, Brazil and Australia, places in Southeast Asia. And so this ripple effect is putting plans that people had in place for long-term Chinese growth, long-term Chinese demand, it's just killing them.
And I guess with oil now down in the low 30s, you know, oil's been sliding for 18 months now, and you have to think at some point a bottom is near, but maybe not, though.
Well, I think that's always the, you know, case with sliding markets, is you think they're getting towards the bottom, and then, you know, something like this happens where, you know, we thought that the yuan was kind of stabilizing, or, you know, not making too, you know, rash of moves, and then, you know, it's like another, you know, another leg down, and everyone's trying to recalculate and figure out, well, what does this mean for all the commodities companies, for the resources companies, and for the countries, and, you know, what does it mean that the yuan is at 6.6 instead of 6.3? Does that change the, you know, equation in terms of demand? Like, can Chinese, you know, at some levels, oil's a lot cheaper. You know, oil's fallen more than the yuan has, so presumably China can still afford to buy the oil that it needs to buy. But, you know, how do you do these calculations? So I think it just creates vast amounts of uncertainty, and you see it, you know, that you see that kind of, you know, cross-the-board selling in commodities and equities and everything when this happens.
And but, Alex, this is, in some ways, it's like, you know, to get a bearerism, this is deja vu all over again. We saw this last summer when the Chinese market crashed. But things came back pretty quickly, you know, and things recovered. Why is it likely to be different this time for global markets?
I don't know that it is likely to be different. It could end up being the same. I think, you know, China's effect on the world is very complicated. Yes, it's the second biggest economy in the world, and yes, it is a huge commodity. You know, as Ken said, you know, the marginal buyer of, you know, everything. And that really affects commodity producers. But how does that affect Europe or the U.S.? Well, you know, $1.75 gasoline in the U.S. sounds really, really good. It sounds really, really good for the economy.
Back up the minivan.
Yeah, I mean, but you look at car sales in December and you say, well, thank you, China, for making oil really, really cheap.
Ken, agree, disagree?
Yeah, no, that's true. The only thing is, you know, you're not seeing, I mean, the U.S. economy is decently healthy. Europe is struggling, but you're not seeing growth, right? So that the world has had this huge stimulus from lower commodity prices with interest rates lower and, you know, super low and QE going on in different parts of the world, and you're still not getting growth in the world. And so in some ways it makes you sit back and say, well, okay, every stimulus that you could possibly ask for is hitting the world economy. you know, except for China struggling, and the world economy is doing kind of okay. So where does it go from here? What if you know this problem in the Middle East and oil goes back up to 80? You know, what happens to the world economy? It just shows how weak and how precarious things are.
And talking about weak and precarious too, we're seeing this spillover effect into U.S. markets. U.S. equities have started the year definitely in a downward slide here. And so I guess the question is, when we're talking, obviously, and Alex talks about how complicated China's effect is on the rest of the world, but we're clearly seeing the spillover into the U.S. So the question is this an overreaction in the U.S.? Unemployment rate's 5%, wage pressure's picking up a little bit. As you guys mentioned, gas prices are so low. Things are looking relatively okay in the U.S., but you have this big overhang in China. So how much of this is an overreaction to China or maybe an underreaction to China?
Well, you know,
I think it could be both. I think it could be a totally valid reaction, but also an excuse to react against, you know, factors going on in the U.S. Like the central bank is raising interest rates for the first time in a really long time. You know, corporate
Ken,
earnings.
Ken, do you think that's so bad that the Fed is raising rates in the face of this?
Well, so the thing to think about is, so let's look at a worst case scenario, right? So this is. This is what the market is trying to price in, right? What could be really bad? Okay, so worst case scenario is Chinese growth is 3%, right? It really collapses. Well, what do you see? So you see commodity prices go down further. So you see people that are exposed with debt, assuming those prices would be higher, getting hit. So you see, you know, defaults go up in Brazil and in Australia and in other parts of the world. Southeast Asia gets hit very hard. If the Chinese currency keeps going down, it has a deflationary impact on the rest of the world. Well, a lot of the world is trying to get inflation going. So these are all these scenarios that, you know, the market is trying to gauge whether it's we need to price this in. And it would have a big ripple effect in a lot of different ways. Who knows?
We're going to have to end it there. Thank you, Dave, Alex, and Ken. That wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Heard on the Street. Check out our full podcast at wsj.com/podcasts.